to read this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning of this one thing being wisdom. The title of the message is When Wisdom Takes Root. And I was reading in my devotions this week, and as I'm reading the Bible through chronologically, it's now in Solomon's reign. The Bible says that he wrote 1,000 proverbs and a lot of songs, and so it goes immediately to these proverbs, and I was reading them in bulk, and this a passage here that stuck out to me, and I want to just highlight it today, and then I want to make some comments and try to be a blessing to you. When wisdom takes root. Notice, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to read many, many verses, and I'll direct you as we go here. So Proverbs chapter 2, notice, if you will, in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of the judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom, here's the phrase that caught my heart. When wisdom entereth into the heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of their paths. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of righteousness. Now look over, you, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Notice what it says. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, that is of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She, that is wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now, look over, if you will, in chapter 4. That is a lot to be said in just a few verses about wisdom. Now you understand why verse 7 of chapter 4 says what it says. Notice what it says. In chapter 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And let's pray once again this morning. Our Father, I thank you for the word of God. And I pray today, as it is brought forth and as it is preached, as it is explained, I pray that you'd give your Holy Spirit to all of us a spirit of understanding. I pray that we'd have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says. And then, Lord, I pray that we would take it and that we would apply it to our life. God, I pray that you'd bless everyone that's tuned in today. I thank you for their attention. And I pray that you would encourage them today. I pray that we would gain strength today in our faith because of the Word of God. And Lord, I yield myself to you and ask that you'd use me again simply as a vessel. Please help me not to hinder your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can see from the text that we read that the benefits of having God's wisdom far exceed what most Christians experience. As you read beginning in verse 5 of chapter 2 and you read verses 11 through 16, as you cross the page over to chapter 3 and read chapter 3 and even into chapter 4 and really throughout the book of Proverbs, you get the idea of not just what wisdom is, but what wisdom does in our lives. In order for wisdom to have that kind of influence on us, it must reach the soul. In order to affect the soul, you've got to reach the heart as the seat of the soul. That is where God desires to deposit His Word. Go back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 2 and notice what it says once again. Proverbs chapter 2. And I have completely lost my place. When? I'm looking for when. Oh, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into the heart. You see that? When it gets to the heart. When wisdom enters the heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. In Psalm chapter 51, in the midst of David's great confession and asking for God's mercy, here's what he says in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Thou desirest truth on the inward parts. God's desire is to put truth on the inside of us. Why? Because it's what comes out of a man that defiles, not what goes into a man. And so when you think about that phrase, when you think about what God wants to do in us, it all has to do with the deposit of God's Word in us. Again, Psalm 119 in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I want us to think about just how important wisdom is then this morning. And according to our text in Proverbs chapter 2, we know this, that wisdom comes from God. Now, I want you to think about that statement. Wisdom comes from God. And then here's some following statements. If it comes from God, it must be a gift. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Isn't that a blessing? God says, I want to give you wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 says that wisdom is from God, and James chapter 1 says it's a gift of God. Now, if it comes from God as a gift, then it must be something that we need in this life. That's why Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says wisdom is the principal thing. It's the main thing. Therefore, get it. With all that getting, get understanding. Now then, if it's a gift from God and it's something that we need, then we need to understand that God is willing to give it to us. All we've got to do is ask. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, if we can come to the conclusion then as to the importance of wisdom in our lives, then we must also come to the conclusion that there is a difference between being acquainted with the wisdom of God and having it take root in our hearts. Go back to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10. Notice down in your Bible, if you will, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Those two things are connected. And so the Bible teaches us then not just the essentiality of wisdom, but it also gives us some essential steps that allow for that wisdom to take root. And I don't know about you, but I need wisdom every day. And I believe that you probably need wisdom right where you are. And it doesn't matter what the role is, but certainly in the midst of all that's going on, we should be praying for and seeking God's wisdom. Now, if wisdom is going to take root, that is, if it's going to affect our soul and it's going to yield what the Bible says is the benefit of that wisdom, then I believe these steps are how we see to it that wisdom is where it belongs and that it affects us. First of all, there has to be a reception. There has to be a reception. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 1, my son, if thou wilt, notice, receive my words. And then in verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart. Yea, in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, if wisdom is going to reach the heart and take root, then there must be a willingness to receive it. Now, it's one thing to understand that believers oftentimes are unwilling, unbelievers are oftentimes unwilling to hear what the Bible says. But isn't it an entire different matter when God's people don't have a willingness to receive the wisdom of God? In Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2, God made that statement. He said, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. He's speaking of Israel, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and they hear not, for they are a rebellious house. God has created within us the capability of intake. That is from what we see and what we hear. And here we find that God's people in Israel decided, I don't want to hear what God has to say. I don't want to see what God has to do. Jesus recognized that there were people sitting in his presence, by the way, as the Messiah, by the way, as God incarnate, the one who had the power to heal, the one who had the power to control the elements, yet they were not willing to hear. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, in fact, several times over and again, it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, interesting to me is the first time that Jesus spoke those words, he was speaking of John the Baptist and the power of his testimony and the power of his ministry and the power of his message. Yet there were people who were there that didn't want to hear it. The second time Jesus spoke those words, he was speaking about the word of God being sown in the hearts of people and how they were receiving it and how they weren't willing to listen. The next time he spoke those words, he was speaking about the importance of the candlestick being a light to all. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The next time Jesus used those words, he was telling people that what truly defiles a person's life is not what they put into their mouth, but what comes out of their heart. The last time Jesus used those words, he speaks about the influence of the Christian life and that if salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. And people were struggling with those words. Jesus made the statement, he who had ears to hear, let him hear. And over again, in fact, every instance in the Gospels and every instance in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, where you read these words, it speaks of a willingness to receive the word of God and blessings that follow that reception. So if you want to obtain this one thing of wisdom, you must receive the word of God readily. Let me give you two additional verses. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul reminds this church and he speaks to their willingness. The Bible says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, watch, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, willingness then to receive goes a long way when it comes to wisdom taking root. I'll say that again. Willingness to receive goes a long way when it comes to wisdom taking root. So first of all, if I'm going to pursue this one thing of wisdom and do all that I can to get it, because God says that I need to get it and have it, then there must be a reception, a willingness to receive. Secondly, there's got to be repentance. There has to be repentance. Now, in the parable of the sower and the seed that many of you are familiar with, the Bible tells us that there were several types of soil that the seed fell on. And on the one that was productive, the one that brought forth fruit, was the one that fell on good ground. Now, ground that wasn't hard, that is, ground that didn't have anything else in it to choke out the word, but first and foremost, ground that is ground that has been broken up, ground that has been prepared for the seed. I'm reminding you of the words of Hosea chapter 10 where it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, and notice the next phrase, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. You see, hearts can be hardened by several different things. It can be hardened by sin. It can be hardened by unmet expectations. It can be hardened by circumstances out of our control. It can be hardened, according to that verse, by lies, by listening to philosophy, which is man's opinion about man and God, as opposed to doctrine, which is God's opinion about man and God. And all of those things make the ground of our heart hardened. So what has to happen? Well, that has to be broken up. The soil must become soft again. The soil must become pliable, ready for the seed to be planted. You remember what that was like? You remember when your heart was so pliable and ready to receive the Word of God, and you had it all broken up. You were soft and you were contrite to the Word of God. Yesterday we had some cement poured and the men had to work swiftly while it was still able to be worked. Why? Because cement, when it's given time and it's given heat and the right elements, becomes hard. Today, you could go out there and stand on it, and it is very, very hard. It will finish curing this afternoon, and we could go out, jump up and down on it. I could have a whole group of people go out and jump up and down on it, and it's not going to move. Why? Because it's no longer pliable. It was shaped in the fashion that it needed to be shaped in, and it was finished, and now it's the finished product. Now, I dare say that if we're not careful, when our hearts become hardened and we don't go back to that repentance moment and say to God, Lord, will you please forgive me? I've been listening to all these other things and all this other information, and it's skewed my mind and it's taken possession of my heart. And now the soil of my heart is hardened. Lord, please forgive me. That's breaking it up. That's asking God to break up that fallow ground. I can hear preaching all day long. I can read the Bible for hours. I can sit and be counseled for weeks. I can even be checked into a Christian addiction center, surrounded by Christians and pointed in the right direction. But if I do not have a repentant heart, wisdom will never take root. Luke chapter 24 says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And this is what he finishes with. And ye are witnesses of these things. God says, look, the people that are going to be proclaiming this message of repentance are people who have experienced it themselves. That's why Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, I think in some Christians' hearts, we understand that we have to repent in order to be saved. I believe the Bible teaches that. However, unfortunately, many Christians don't think that they ever have to repent again, that they never have to turn away from that sin, that they never have to change their mind about the will of God in their heart. And that's very unfortunate. Why? Because when I get to that state, I can't have wisdom in my heart. It will not take root. Though I may know it, though I may hear it, though I may watch it in other people's lives, it's not going to take root until first I'm willing to receive it. And secondly, there has been repentance and that sin, that hardened ground, has been taken care of. Third, there must be removal. If wisdom is going to take root, there must be a removal. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, notice the phrase, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, certainly, there are people who want wisdom of the wisdom of God to permeate their life. But you also understand that in order for that to happen, you've got to make room for it, which means that there may be some things that have to go. Anything that hinders wisdom from taking roots must be considered. And by the way, praise the Lord that he's already considered those things. Now, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24. I think you may need to turn in your Bibles to that. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24. The Bible says that God's already, in the midst of this passage, in the midst of going forward for wisdom, God's already considered the things that doth so easily beset us, so that we can lay them aside. Proverbs 4 and verse 24, put away Notice the phrase, put away from thee a froward mouth. I would highlight or underline or circle the word mouth. It says, and perverse lips put far from thee. Verse 25, let thine eyes, I'd circle and highlight the word eyes, look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 26, ponder, and I would circle or highlight the phrase, the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Notice the phrase, remove thy foot from evil. Now, what's God saying here in the midst of this wisdom and how we can have it affecting our life? He's saying, listen, I want you to understand, because I know where wisdom is going. If it's going to really take root, if it's really going to do what I have ordained it to do, you've got to consider what comes out of your mouth. You've got to consider the words that you are saying. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if we actually love the Lord, then we're going to live by the fruit of that. So the fact of the matter is, God says, what are you speaking? How are you speaking? Are you speaking the truth? Are you speaking graciously? Are you speaking graciously and allowing that to edify someone else? Are you speaking kindly? Are you tenderhearted with what you speak? All of that matters when it comes to wisdom's roots. So he says, I want you to put away those things, lay those aside. That phrase means cast it away. It says in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on. There may be some things in your life, the reason that you're not seeing the effects of God's word working so mightily in your life, as it's quick and powerful and it gives a life, is because there's some things not only that you're saying that are not true or saying that are against the Holy Spirit, but there's things that you're looking at. There are places on the internet. There are places on your television. There are places on your phone. There are things, there are people that you're looking at, and those things are affecting your heart. By the way, it doesn't have to be necessarily something immoral. It could be something that's just negative. It could be something that may even be entertaining to the point where it's drawing your heart more toward pleasure than it is toward the principles of God's word. I'm just simply saying, God's the one that said, look, I've considered all the options here, and I know your heart. And by the way, he does. He knows what's in secret. And so when God says to put away from thee what's coming out of your mouth, put away from thee what's coming into your eyes, God knows what affects our hearts. Verse 26, how about the places that you're going, the path of your feet? And it says, look, if your way in your life is not being considered before the will of God and the throne of God, and it's having a bearing on whether wisdom is taking control, then you need to consider a different path. Maybe we should consider the path of God's will this morning. Perhaps we should just take a step back and say, Lord, I want to, as the Bible says, ponder the path of my feet. Lord, what direction am I going? Lord, am I going in the direction of faithfulness? Am I going in the direction of truth and righteousness? Am I going in the direction of your will for my life? Because God, that's what I want. That's where wisdom leads. You can read it for yourself over and over again. Verse chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5. Wisdom crieth out in the gates. Chapter 6 and 7. There's a voice that comes from the slums of the world, and there's a voice that cries out from the Spirit of the Word of God. And we have to decide, am I going to listen to that or am I not? Am I ready to receive this? Is my heart prepared? Can I go through my life and can I pick out those things? Yesterday I had to do some weed removal on the side of our house, and I had to do some extra removal on a bush that had gotten completely out of control. And I had to do the things necessary to make that area healthy. That's exactly the illustration for our hearts. You see, if wisdom is going to take root, we've got to consider the soil. We've got to consider the surroundings. The beautiful part of this is that God already knows what's in our lives that hinders the word from having its powerful and quickening effect. So when we ask for his wisdom and we meet it with a soft heart, guess what he does? He shows us. Maybe today you could get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, is there anything in my life? Is there anything in my attitude that is not pleasing to me? Not pleasing to you. God, show me. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, like you promised. God, see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in that way everlasting. When we do that, that's when wisdom takes root. And then that's when the blessings of righteousness come into our lives. What is that? That's the right things happening. Go back. I challenge you. Go back. Read chapters 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and just keep going. Don't read it like you would necessarily a proverb for a day, but read it in bulk. and look at the characteristic or the power of influence that wisdom has on a life where it enters the heart. Again, when wisdom entereth into the heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee. Man, the effects are unbelievable. Someone said efficiency is doing things right, but effectiveness is doing the right things. Efficiency is doing things right, but effectiveness is doing the right things. I believe wisdom is just that, doing the right things the right way for the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages me because God basically lays out in Proverbs, here's the life that you could have should you desire to live in wisdom. By the way, the book of Proverbs also lays out the life that you will live if you decide not to. That's the beauty of the wisdom of God, is that he doesn't withhold from us, all of the bad effects. He not only gives us the benefit, but he also gives us the burden of sin. The way of the transgressor is hard. And so I've got to be willing to receive. I've got to be willing to repent, have that soft heart. Thirdly, I've got to be ready to remove those things that are hindering. Now, let me just ask you by way of review. Is there anything in your life that's hindering wisdom taking roots? Is there anything in your life that is keeping that receiving of the Word of God from taking hold? The Bible says in Mark chapter 6 that there are cares of this world that choke it out. And it produces nothing. It was received. In fact, in the parable of sower and the seed, you'd be hard-pressed not to see that there are good things that happen when you readily receive the Word of God, but there are other things that can take place that remove it. And so we see reception and repentance and removal. Fourthly is something that I think is probably the most imperative for the general majority of probably the people listening to us today, and that is repetition. Repetition. You see, there's a great difference between street smarts, or what we would call in some cases common sense, and the wisdom of God. You see, one is all about what you know or how to live within a social climate of your life. The other is how to please God and have the assurance that where you are going is according to God's plan. And so repetition then is the daily attention, that daily seeking, that daily searching for grace and knowledge that is imperative. Now, when you plant something, and by any stretch of the imagination, I'm not a farmer. And I'm not even a gardener. I'm trying to keep some things alive. I would like to say that on behalf of the plants that I have to water and care for, I'm trying to rescue them from certain danger. But I do know this. If I don't tend to them, they're going to die. We had roses that were planted, and I took some sage advice from Cassie Castleberry on how to plant these roses, but how to care for them and how to make them thrive. And I got to tell you, under her counsel for the last over a year and a half, our roses have been absolutely gorgeous when they're in full bloom. In fact, I was so impressed with her knowledge when she sent me just a stick. It was just a stick. That's all it was. A stick with thorns on it. Nothing. No bloom, no nothing. And she said, plant that in the ground. And I looked at her like, who does that? Plant that in the ground. You want me to take this stick, dig a hole, and stick it like a pencil? Yeah, just stick it in it. And what? And water it. And I said, and that's it? She taught me how to do some things with some alfalfa and salt and things like that afterward. But yeah, just stick it in the ground and water. I was like, okay, I'll do that. I did that, and this, just about a month ago, that one stick, which is now a full-grown plant, yielded one of the most beautiful and largest white long stem roses I've ever seen in my life. It was absolutely breathtaking. And I say that to say that it took daily care in order for that to grow. Now, our faith in God is no different. And the wisdom of God that we deposit in our life is no different. You see, it's kind of a curiosity thing when we first begin to read the Bible. Oh, what does the Bible say? I've never heard it. This is kind of neat. And then when we kind of, what happens is in our heart, we, because of the other steps that we're not tending to, the repetition and the necessity of tending to those things and the Word of God begins to fade. The first thing to go when a child's behavior begins to stray from obedience normally is consistency in the parents. They've not been consistent in their means and in their motive and their methods of taking care of business with their children. And oftentimes that leads to a rebellious heart. Why? Because they've not tended to it on a daily basis. And the same thing is true in our own hearts. If I'm not repetitiously seeking the Lord and seeking His wisdom, guess what? I don't tend to forget. I just simply overlook. I tend to think that something else is worth getting rather than wisdom. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Proverbs 8:31, speaking from wisdom's gate, blessed is the man that heareth me, wisdom says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. In Acts 17:11, we're introduced to a group of Christians that Paul praises because of this. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. That's the first part that we talked about. Secondly, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's why in Psalm 145:2, David could write this, every day I will bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. You see, the Bible lends itself to God's blessings and says, look, I want to give you this gift. I want to give you what you need. I want to give you wisdom. And in getting that wisdom, because it's the principal thing, now you've got to repetitiously do it. Daily wait at my gates. Daily seek my face. Daily come for peace. Daily come for grace. That way, when you come boldly, when you come with the right to seek grace and mercy, guess what He's going to give? Grace and mercy. God says, I know what's keeping you from this wisdom, and yet I want to give you the wisdom. Remove those things and repetitiously seek after me, because if you seek, you're going to find. If you ask, you're going to be answered. You're going to have. Think about what you could have from God if you would daily wait at His gates. Think about how clear your pathway would be. Think about the kind of peace and the joy that would follow us all the days of our lives if we would seek God's face and search for wisdom every day, the same with the same earnestness. What would our days and weeks bring forth as a result of our daily pursuit of wisdom? Well, I think we would find that our paths don't lead to destruction. I think we would find that our problems don't overcome our principles. I think if we sought God's wisdom daily, that our plates would be running over with blessings, and that our pain and sufferings wouldn't measure up to the glory that we'll inherit one day, and that our pleasures are in the law of the Lord, so that His will would be our delight every single day. You see, when you go to Hebrews 4 and you read verse 12 and you see that the Word of God is quick and powerful, that word lively means that He livens us, that through the Word of God, the life that we have is changed. Then you just go to Proverbs and say, well, what kind of a change would there be? Well, it would change everything. Everything that I look at, everything that I say, every place that I am, all the acquaintances of my life would be encompassed by one word, principle. Chapter 4:7 says, therefore, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all thy getting, with all of thy effort, seek understanding, lay hold of knowledge. Now, if it's that valuable, and it is, I want to give you the last step for wisdom to take roots, and that is retain. Retain. Now, it's been alluded to in this passage where it talks about laying hold and not letting go. And Proverbs 4, in fact, in verse 4 says, He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Now, the word retain there means to hold on to and not let go. It means to hold on to and not let go. It's not simply the comprehension of something, but the apprehension of it. And that is to be set on not losing it. Not wanting it to go by the wayside. Not wanting it to have the crows of the devil to come and snatch it away. Not wanting the heat of the day to scorch it out. Not wanting the cares of this world to choke it out. You see, the retaining of it means that there's something worth holding on to. Truly, if wisdom is the treasure of God that He desires to deposit in our hearts, then we must receive it and treasure it as He does. Look at Proverbs 3:13 again. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, chapter 3, verse 13. And the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire in all of the world are not compared unto her. In fact, the Bible, again, I read this verse initially. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word hid there in the Hebrew in Psalm 119:11 means to hide a treasure. And that treasure then must be protected. You see, for Solomon to warn Rehoboam and his family, and by way of inspiration, all of us, is to say, listen, when you get a hold of my words, when you get a hold of my law, you're going to have to remove some other things that are being problematic to it, and you're going to have to change your heart, and you're going to have to repeat it over and over and over again. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says you're supposed to speak of the word of God in your heart, and wherever you go, and whether you're lying down or standing up, that it's supposed to be ever on your lips. That's what leads to success, Joshua 1:8. So if that's the case, and then what has to happen? Well, then what I want you to do not only is repeat that every single day, I want you to hold on to it. Now, the fact of the matter is, it can be given away or it can be stolen. And yet God says the effort that I want to see from you is that you're protecting it. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine heart and thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, friend, that is not coincidence. That's inspiration. Because when wisdom entereth into thine heart, that's when we're supposed to keep it there. That's why we're supposed to guard it with all diligence. Why? Because the devil wants in to take it out, and we may lose it and overlook it. And God says, don't be weary in keeping it. Guard it with all of your heart. Why? Because it's the treasure that you need for your life. You see, we see the steps of how wisdom takes root and what it takes to keep it there. And God lays out as to the importance of it. But how do you know when it really takes root? Well, let's just review. According to the Bible, wisdom takes root when it affects every decision that you make. When it affects the places that you go. When it affects the associates that you run with. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. When it affects your pursuit, when wisdom takes root, it affects your heart and the purpose of your life in every way. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth in his confidence. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. We could spend the rest of the day, perhaps the rest of the month, talking about what wisdom looks like in an everyday manner. But it won't matter if we're not willing to receive it. It won't matter if our hearts have been hardened by circumstances or unmet expectations or even sin. It won't matter if we're not willing to remove those things in our life that has been keeping us from walking in wisdom. By the way, that's in many ways why I can thank God for the sheltering in place, that many things that have been encroaching in on the Word of God have been removed from people's lives. They've not been able to muddy those waters. They've been able, and God said, okay, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you space. I'm going to give you a great opportunity. In 10 weeks, I'm going to press pause. And in 10 weeks, I'm going to give you 70 days. And I'm going to ask you every single day, have you sought me at my gates? Every single day, I'm going to give you 24 hours. And in that period of time, and I'm not saying that every hour of every day, but I certainly would like to think that when I get to heaven, God has an expectation of me daily seeking for His Word. 70 days and counting, more than that, 10 weeks, God has said, I'm going to push pause. I'm going to give you back your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity to seek my wisdom. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to keep it there. This one thing, I can do all things through Christ. I can't seek and I can't retain wisdom without him because of all the things that keep me from it. So if there's one thing that God wants to take roots in our hearts, it's wisdom. It's wisdom because its fruit affects so much. Again, notice if you will in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you for loving us and I want to thank you for the Bible. And God, today I want to thank you for all that's listening today that may be a believer, people who know for sure if they died today, they'd be on their way to heaven. God, I pray that you'd work in their hearts right now. And Lord, I pray for those that may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that you'd help them not just to look for wisdom, but to look for wisdom that is in Christ alone. Lord, knowing that he is the living manifestation of wisdom and that he wants to save their soul this morning. Now, maybe you're here listening and I would ask if you're a believer that you just pray right now. Would you pray right now? Pray for what I'm about to say and pray for those that are listening to it. Maybe you're listening this morning and you're not a believer. I mean, you have a thought that you believe in God, but you're not born again. You don't know if you died today that you'd be in heaven. You're still living in sin. You're still living with the guilt of decisions. And you need to trust Christ as your Savior and you know it. I wonder today if that may be the day. I wonder if today, through the Word of God and understanding that God loves you the way that you are, Jesus came to die and take your place on the cross and to pay for your sin, that today, if you would repent and trust Christ, that you could be saved. I want to talk to you just for a minute. If you're lost, I want you to look right here. I just want to talk with you. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You don't know if your sins are forgiven or not. You don't even have a Bible answer as to why God would let you into heaven. Let me just appeal to you for a minute. Do you understand what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary? I had this discussion with my children this week in devotions. We're all sinners. Because of that sin, there's a great sin debt that has to be paid. The wages of sin is death. We have offended a holy God. When God sent his only begotten Son into this world, he sent him not to condemn us. God didn't send Jesus to condemn us. We're already condemned by birth. We're sinners by nature. So why did God send Jesus to save us? I told my little boy, I said, do you understand that Jesus was pronounced guilty for every sin that I ever committed? God punished Jesus Christ for every sin that you would ever commit. That's what Jesus did. Jesus, being just, died for the unjust. Jesus, being sinless, died for every sinner. God so loved the world that he made that happen. Why? So that you could be saved. Jesus becomes then the only mediator, the only hope, the only salvation for every sinner. And if you understand that today, that Jesus is your only hope, maybe you could pray to God right now where you are with a soft, repentant heart, broken, saying, God, I know that I'm a sinner. And you could cry out to him and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know it. And I know that because of my sin, I cannot go to heaven. But I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you paid for my sin. I know that you are my only hope, Lord Jesus. I ask you right now, the best way I know how, will you please come into my life and save me from my sin? If you're willing to do that today, friend, I know that God is willing to save you. Maybe you've done it right now. Maybe you prayed and you asked Jesus to save you. I hope so. If that's the case, I'd really love to hear how he did that. I'd really love to hear, maybe even answer any questions that you might have. But I want to I want to offer that to you today because that is how we're all saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The fact of the matter is, for every believer, I want to pray for you this morning that you'll let wisdom's roots grow this week in a very profound way. And let's ask God for his blessing one more time. Father in heaven, I pray that somebody today was saved by the grace of Almighty God. I pray right now that you are just showering them with your blessings. I pray for every believer that you would help us, Lord, to let wisdom take root. Help it to affect every ounce of our being. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.